Hey everybody, this is Pastor James and welcome back to the Midweek Bible Study. We are in chapter 15 and we're picking up where Jesus heals a Gentile woman's daughter. And this is one of my favorite passages to talk about because it makes Jesus and his disciples seem kind of cold. And if you just read the passage and don't really take into consideration all the background information that plays into what is happening and what's going on, it really doesn't seem that Jesus might be a nice person in this moment. So let's dig into this thing today. Let's read together and see why Jesus is refusing this woman and healing her daughter for a moment's time. Let's read together. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. It says, "Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him, pleading, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely.' But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. 'Tell her to go away,' they said. 'She's bothering us with all of her begging.' Then Jesus said to the woman, 'I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel.' But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, 'Lord, help me.' Jesus responded, 'It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs.' She replied, 'That's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table.' 'Dear woman,' Jesus said to her, 'your faith is great. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was instantly healed." All right, let's talk about this passage for a second. This really is, like, when you read this, it makes Jesus and his disciples seem very cold towards this woman and her daughter. But let's go into the details behind everything going on. First of all, you have to remember that most of Jesus' ministry took place around Galilee. And to get an idea of what is really happening in this story, you have to understand that Tyre and Sidon were Gentile cities, and most of their inhabitants were Canaanites that had not been driven from the land by the people of Israel as they were conquering the land of Israel in the day of Joshua. So because these people had been allowed to stay, their sin was allowed to stay, and they and their sin greatly affected the people of Israel in this region, and even sometimes it crept over into the people of Israel. And so there's this weird tension going on between Gentiles, which these were Canaanite Gentiles, and the people of Israel. And so if you don't know this, Gentiles are merely people who are not Jewish. It's everyone else. And so these were Canaanite Gentile people. They were not Jewish. They were left there from their ancestors who were present in the land whenever it was being conquered and were never really driven out. Now, Tyre and Sidon were around 50 miles away from Galilee. So the fact that Jesus went there was no accident. He didn't get lost and wander into the town. He purposefully went there so that he could minister to the people in that area. However, his main goal in going there was to minister to Jewish people living in that area and not the Gentile people. And so, even though the Jewish people were living there were hated, there were still some Jewish people living in that area, and Jesus wanted to minister to them and preach to them about the message of the gospel and the Lord's mercy and grace and love. So this Gentile woman comes up in the midst of this as Jesus and his disciples are moving throughout these towns. She comes up begging Jesus to have mercy on her and her daughter. She even refers to Jesus as the son of David, which is very much a messianic title indicating her belief in him being the Messiah that Israel had been waiting for. Now, this is super interesting because many of Jesus' own people, the people of Israel, did not even receive him as the Messiah, but this Gentile woman very much so did in her calling him the son of David. And her daughter had been tormented by demons, and she's not satisfied with letting her daughter continue to be tormented. Like many of us, if our child was hurting and desperate and in need, we would do anything within our abilities to make sure that they were cared for. And she is interceding on her daughter's behalf. She, in a sense, is being like Jesus. I mean, Jesus intercedes on our behalf, and this woman is interceding on behalf of her daughter. And so this is very much a noble, in a way, a godly thing that she is doing by interceding for her daughter. But Jesus ignores her. And this is a side of Jesus that we don't see very often. Most of the time, Jesus is very quick to give explanations and to speak, but this in this moment, Jesus is ignoring her, and it really is quite hard to explain why this is happening if you don't have the full context of what is going on and what should be happening in the 3 years of ministry that Jesus had on this earth. And so it's important to remember in this moment that Jesus has a purpose. He had a job, and it's very important that he accomplished his purpose during his short time of ministering to the people in this earth. Now, let me give you an analogy or a parable of a sort. Let's suppose that you had been given a certain amount of time to make sure your closest loved ones would be saved from death or immense suffering. And the amount of time you had been given really wasn't even enough time to make sure that they would all be safe and secure. So there's very much this immense amount of pressure and expectation that you get the job done as fast as you can get it done with as many of your family members as you can so that you can get as many of them out of harm's way as possible. And while you're working to save or relieve your family from death or suffering in this way, you have a stranger that comes up and asks for help. And it's not that you don't care for the stranger or that you don't love the stranger, but there's something more intently on your mind that you have to accomplish in your short amount of time that you have left. And this is precisely the predicament that Jesus is in. Perhaps some of you listening to this podcast today will be able to understand that maybe there's been times where someone's come up and they've asked you for help. Maybe they've asked you for money or they've asked you to assist them in some way, and you just don't have the ability to. Your resources are limited. And a lot of times we forget that Jesus, even though he was able to do anything, the only thing that Jesus was limited on was the 3 years of ministry that he had. He was very limited on time. He was sent specifically to minister to the people of Israel during those 3 years of ministry. And now this Gentile woman has come asking for attention, asking for time, asking for healing when Jesus is called specifically to the people of Israel. And it is a very difficult predicament to be in because he did love this woman and he loved her daughter and he did want to help them, but he knew that the end goal that God had tasked him with was much greater than the immediate request being made. And so Jesus at first doesn't give an answer. However, when you look, there's no indication that the disciples understand what's going on in this moment. They just seem to be annoyed more than anything. They love their Jewish people. They're faithful to their people. It almost seems like they have no interest in the Gentiles. It seems like they are exasperated by this woman's constant begging, and they beg Jesus to send her away. Some scholars believe that when you look at the original Greek, the way that it translates is more along the lines of give her what she wants so that she will go away, rather than how we interpret it in the English language of send her away with nothing. And so the disciples could have very much been saying, Jesus, go ahead and heal her daughter so she'll leave us alone, rather than just send her away, we don't like her. And so there's kind of a confusion as to what that means in the original text. But Jesus turns around and he explains to this woman why he's not going to answer her. But the woman doesn't give up. She keeps asking and insisting. And then Jesus kind of gets down to the nitty-gritty, and it's kind of a painful statement of the way things were. And he uses the analogy of taking food from the children and feeding it to the dogs. And this seems so cold and harsh. I remember when I was a young Christian, a teenager, and I read this for the first time, and it seems so counter to the heart and character of Jesus that I had always heard about. But we have to remember, we have to keep in mind that sometimes things look bad, but keep in mind, it was Abraham's faith, Moses' faith, and many other people's faith that were being honored with Jesus coming to the Israelites and ministering specifically to them. Jesus was a direct descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, Solomon, all these great leaders in Israel. and Jesus was coming from their line to minister and save their people. And when you also take into consideration that the Canaanites had never honored God, but they had actually hindered God's plan with their constant sin and their constant oppression of the people of Israel. Now, this woman, who is Canaanite, a Gentile, comes and wants something from God when probably in her life she's never given anything to God. And this seems a little contradictory, but she is persisting and she gives a response to Jesus in this moment that is worthy of what she is asking for. Notice that she doesn't scold Jesus for referring to her as a dog in this parable or this analogy, but she humbly accepts the role that was given to her and she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." This woman wasn't asking for a significant chunk of his time or to go anywhere or to do anything beyond his ability. She was simply asking him to say the words, and she believed that he was able to heal her daughter. She had heard about all of his many miracles and who he was, and she believed with her whole heart. And because her faith was so great, Jesus healed her daughter. And because she kept asking and because she believed no matter what, she humbled herself and was willing to accept whatever was there, whatever role he wanted to bestow on her so that her daughter could receive this amazing gift of being healed. And so we learn something great from this passage, that we have to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have to keep seeking and asking in order to receive this great gift that he has for us, whether it be healing or salvation or answered prayers or anything, that we constantly are seeking Jesus Christ and humbling ourselves before him to receive it. So as we read on, let's read verses 29 through 31 and we'll probably finish up today. It says, "Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus and healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking, the crippled were made well, the lame were walking, and the blind could see. And they praised the God of Israel." All right. So this seems like a very insignificant passage of scripture, just kind of a overall broad view of what's been going on, but it gives us some really cool specific information. So as Jesus returns to the sea, all the crowds are brought before him, and many scholars think this is kind of a unique time in Jesus' ministry where there's a shift going on, where he's not so much focusing on the Jewish people, but he's in this moment seems to be kind of leaning towards ministering to the Gentiles as well. And so from this point on, a lot of Jesus' ministry is going to take place in the Gentile region of Galilee and not just with the Jews. And perhaps Jesus knows exactly what he's doing, because when push comes to shove, the Gentiles are going to receive Jesus more readily than the Jews ever will. And Jesus knew that one day he was going to send his disciples out, and he was going to call this man named the Apostle Paul, and he was going to make him his special instrument to minister to the Gentile people. Even though he had not yet been called, even though Jesus had not yet met him, he knew this was going to happen. And Jesus may have been called to minister to the Jews, but it seems like from this point on, the Gentiles were getting their fair share of the meal too. They didn't seem to be feeding off the crumbs like this Gentile woman was in this story that we read before. But now Jesus seems to be very much serving up their own portions of healing and teaching and ministering and miracles to those people regularly. So one of the most humbling things about the ministry of Jesus that we see at the very end of this in verse 31 is that Jesus never drew attention to himself or sought credit for his miracles. In fact, he sent many people away after healing them or doing something great for them, and he told them not to tell anyone what had been done or who done it. But what we see is that Jesus' ministry always brought glory to God. In verse 31, the crowds were amazed and they praised the God of Israel. And Jesus always brought attention to God and he always brought glory to God. The question is, are we doing the same thing with our lives? You know, as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be following his example, living like he lived, doing the same things he done. And so the question I have for you today is, are you bringing credit and glory and honor to yourselves, or are you bringing it to God? You know, when I ask myself that question personally, sometimes it's difficult to answer it honestly and transparently. I would like to say that I'm always bringing glory and honor to God, but in truth, that's probably not accurate. And so I challenge you today, focus on the Lord, give your life to honor him, let his name be praised, and in due time, when we stand before him in eternity, we'll be honored and we'll be given credit for all that we've done in his name. Let's pray together today. Father, thank you so much for being with us and watching over us, for giving us life, and Lord, just giving us the ability to call on your name. And Lord, I don't know about all the people listening in, but I'm a Gentile. As far as I know, I don't have any Jewish blood in my life. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be able to be humble and call on your name and to have access to you in spite of not being a child of God, not being a Jew. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins as much as you did for anyone else's. I thank you for accessing the Father and pleading on my behalf at all times, for intercessing for me. Jesus, I pray that you would just speak to us today. Help us to glorify and honor you in all that we do. Help us to point people to you, not to bring attention to ourselves, but to point people to you and allow your name to be great and praised in all things. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Thanks again for tuning in for another week. We love you. We appreciate you and hope to see you on campus on Sunday. Have a great week, guys.